Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. This is hard. We talk about these things, gut punches, the way we have allowed human trafficking, and it's not just, you know, it's sexual exploitation. That's the bulk of it here as well. But it's for labor as well. There's forced marriages. I never think about this a lot, but organ removal and other purposes too. Human trafficking. It's something 28 million people around the world are victims of. They have no rights. They have no hope, probably. No control. Yes, we need to address this. Today we're going to look at the problem from that law enforcement aspect, from the nature of the issue itself. But we'll also look at solutions and what law enforcement is doing. And then we'll talk about what third parties are doing as well. Brittany Higgs will join us from the HER campaign. And we'll kick it off with Bureau Chief Steve Crawford from the DCI, Division of Criminal Investigation. Today on Voices of Montana. It's a tough topic today because, well, why because? Because this is hurting people in a lot of ways. And it's also affecting probably people that we know, neighbors. We might have seen a child who is under human trafficking, sexual exploitation, and maybe had our doubts about it or wonders about it. And probably, well, no, that's not what that can be. We're more attuned to that. We'll talk about some of those warning signs as well as we get rolling on here. Let's look at the issue from from that Department of Justice standpoint as well, because it's certainly, there's a lot of crimes going on surrounding this. Bureau Chief Steve Crawford is with us. He's heads the Narcotics Bureau Division for the Division of Criminal Investigation. That also includes the Human Trafficking Unit. And Bureau Chief Crawford, good morning, sir. I hope you're well today, Steve.
Good morning, Tom. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate the time. I'm here. The Attorney General wishes that he could be with you this morning. He has an obligation up at the legislature, and so I'm here on his behalf. Want to let you guys know about what we are seeing around the state on the human trafficking front and kind of what we're doing about it and how the public can help us.
Yeah, thank you for that. I appreciate that. And I did say that Austin was going to be with us. We'll catch up with him some other time. I know it's the legislative session going on, and he's probably out there lobbying for some more resources for you guys. And actually, they did that since 2020 and the 2021 session, 2023. I think, Steve, we can talk about how those resources, as we're talking about it now, were employed, because you guys have made arrests. There's more teeth into it in more ways.
Sure. Since the last two sessions, we've had the strong support of the Attorney General and DOJ, as well as the legislature, on getting more resources in place. That's been in the form of an additional agent position for us, and also a victim service specialist. And I'll talk about both of those separately a little bit. The additional agent position has been a force multiplier for us, in that it's literally expanded our geographic footprint on the investigative side. And our human trafficking unit is a small unit, but we are able to partner with our federal partners, as well as our local law enforcement partners, detective divisions, investigators, and form a team to work these cases. And so it looks a little different in each of the communities, but by getting that additional agent position, we were really able to expand our footprint greatly. The victim service specialist position, which was authorized last session, we've been really excited to bring her on board. That position is able to do a couple of really important things for us: be a liaison and a navigator between the non-government organizations, and kind of coordinate communication between Department of Justice and the other partners that are out there to support victims of human trafficking, as well as education and prevention efforts. And then she also serves a very vital role in maintaining contact with victims and survivors of human trafficking especially as cases kind of progress through the court system. Those are very, very difficult times where there's been an active investigation and a charge has been filed or maybe hasn't been filed yet. That period of time, it's super, important for us to continue to support that victim during that transition period from being in a trafficking situation to trying to get them the resources they need to completely recover and step away and be extracted from that situation.
Bureau Chief Steve Crawford again with us here, Narcotics Bureau Chief and the Human Trafficking Unit for Department of Justice in Montana. So 129 human trafficking related cases in Montana, worked in 2024, opened up 21 investigations. Talk about the nature of human trafficking in Montana, Steve.
Sure. And those numbers are just our human trafficking unit. That doesn't necessarily reflect everything that say, the detective division in some of the larger cities did or some of the other law enforcement agencies. What human trafficking looks like in Montana is we see it. It doesn't necessarily require transportation of somebody from one point to another. We see it with folks or with persons in a community that may be victimized by a person that develops a control over that person, either through oftentimes victims have a substance use disorder or some other, kind of vulnerability that these traffickers take advantage of. And, they end up in a commercial sex situation, for example, and where this victim is doing that and the trafficker is profiting from that or basically allowing the victim is subsisting off of the trafficker in exchange for being compelled or coerced into that behavior. That is one scenario that we see, and these are our family members and neighbors and folks from very small towns as well as our larger cities. We also see it in the commercial sex industry where there are folks traveling and oftentimes if there is a third party involved that is managing, coercing, basically through force, fraud, or deception, have a person in this industry where they really can't get themselves back out of it. That is a prototypical sex trafficking case, and we see those in this state. A lot of people don't think that it's as prevalent as it is, but we do see it. Then we also see it in the illicit massage industry, and we work cases in that arena. And then the one that is really a developing or kind of growing area that we are working investigations in is labor trafficking, where someone is either through force, fraud, coercion, or deception being, compelled to do some type of manual labor. This is seen prevalent in the construction industry. It's seen in the hotel industry, hospitality industry, cleaning homes, and that type of thing. And so that's kind of the spectrum what we're seeing around the state.
Well, that's interesting. And one thing about labor trafficking, that one kind of pops out at me a little bit because we don't think of that. We're thinking of just sex trafficking or sexual exploitation. Yep. In a way, too. But I remember hearing a story from, I think it was Sheriff Dutton out of Cascade County, or maybe it was Lewis and Clark County. Anyway, they had visited the border and had spoken to some officials down there. And this is just an example of what labor trafficking can be. There were cartels that had kidnapped family members of a certain person or so, and then they sent this person across the border with drugs. It's very brutal. Those are some of the examples that we see. How much of that, is it all organized crime or is it big organized crime? How do you tackle it here in Montana without having the, maybe you do have that big picture focus on it all?
Well, we can't do it alone. And so in working with both our federal partners on the national stage and international stage, and then working with our local partners here in the state, we are trying to tackle the big picture effort. Your scenario with a person being compelled to smuggle drugs into the country, that's over in our, also in our drug trafficking lane. And virtually all of our inbound methamphetamine and fentanyl is coming across the southern border through a number of kind of ways and routes, and whether that's personal vehicle, commercial vehicle, rail, or on foot, or through parcel post, or even at sea. We do see some of those cases where somebody has either on the drug smuggling side or on the human smuggling side, where they are smuggling folks illegally into the country. Then what can happen afterwards is that person is in a human trafficking situation where they have to work off the fee for being smuggled into the country. And so some of the labor trafficking cases that we see in Montana are directly connected to the human smuggling operation at the border.
And it's got to be difficult for especially law enforcement officers, because they're dealing with the worst of mankind on one side, and then probably, the victims on the other side, who are coerced into this criminal activity. That's one of the questions, that I'm curious about is, what kind of, how do our agents handle it, so to speak?
Well, these are very challenging cases, and especially because most of the time, the perpetrator has been exercising a significant amount of psychological physical control over the victim. And so they have a very powerful hold over that person. And so we are often dealing with very reluctant victims who are been kind of conditioned to be distrustful of law enforcement. And so working these cases are extremely challenging in that regard. And officers have to wear a couple of hats when they're working these. And we really try to take a trauma-informed approach, a victim-centered approach, and conduct interviews in a focused manner that are in an attempt to not re-traumatize the victim. These things come out over time, and we have to do those interviews when the victim is ready. And then you're right, we're oftentimes dealing with the worst of the worst. We're dealing with very dangerous individuals. We see a high prevalence of firearms being possessed and brandished and utilized by both on the drug trafficking side and on the human trafficking side. And so officers have to be very on guard and kind of prepared for anything when dealing with these offenders.
Talk about human trafficking here today, as earlier this month, it was Montana Governor Greg Gianforte, Department of Justice Attorney General Austin Knutson, who had announced and designated it Human Trafficking Awareness Month in Montana. And boy, we get more and more aware of how tough it is. It's a complex global issue. And there's a lot of criminality, of course, involved in this, but there's a lot of victims, as well as, there's perpetrators, the profiteers who make money, but they're the ones who receive the cash, but there are also the perpetrators who are handing over the cash for these kinds of things as well. So the complexity of it it grows. Organ removal, forced marriages, of course we hear about sex trafficking, but knew that to me anyway, is this labor issue, not exactly entirely new, but just the scope of it, it impacts me. Steve Crawford is with us. He's the Bureau Chief of the Narcotics Division, and that's with the Division of Criminal Investigation, DCI, is what that is referred to an awful lot, and also part of the Human Trafficking Unit. Thanks again, Steve, for coming on and for fighting this battle as well. I appreciate that. So the scope of the problem, we kind of discussed it a little bit. I hit on it coming into this break here about, we are pointing the fingers an awful lot at those folks who receive the dough. But another aspect of this is those who are perpetrators who hand over the dough for these kinds of services as well. And I know Montana has kind of taken steps forward, especially in that last legislative session, about putting more teeth into some of those laws.
Yes, absolutely, Tom. So in the last session in 2023, Department of Justice really brought a comprehensive update to the human trafficking statutes. It was House Bill 112. And one aspect of House Bill 112 was putting some more teeth into patronizing a commercial sex worker, patronizing a prostitute, and making it a felony to do so. It had been a misdemeanor prior to that. And this is really done in an effort to deter the demand and to deter the folks that are handing over the money, as you say, and to be able to hold those subjects accountable that are driving and fueling this side of human trafficking. The other thing in 112 was a lot of terms were updated and the language in the statutes were cleaned up and made to be a lot clearer, both to law enforcement to be able to apply the law and prosecutors to be able to prosecute the cases. And so it was a good bill and a good update to Montana state code that we have a really good human trafficking statute that other states can look to when they're updating their own. And we are one of the few states that have gone after the demand side by making it a felony to patronize prostitute. And on that note, our unit has done a number of quote-unquote John stings where we are targeting the demand side, and we've worked with our local law enforcement partners on doing that. Anytime we do one of those proactive operations, we work hand-in-hand with either the police department or the sheriff's office or both of them. And in those, we are kind of have a presence out there that appears to be a commercial sex worker. And so that's my cautionary note to those that would try to use those services or reach out to those persons, is that it could be law enforcement and they should think twice.
The broader picture here, thanks for that. The broader picture too involves, as you noted, working with federal officials and illegal immigration. I mean, we can do what we can do in Montana, but a wide open border, has that exacerbated this situation? How much has it, I should say?
Well, I think there's a direct correlation between what's been going on down there and our kind of rapid growth of labor trafficking cases, especially, and then with a large influx of temporary workers or undocumented workers that have come across during that time period, and then that are being kind of in really inhumane conditions, being forced to work off the price of being smuggled in. That's been a direct impact here in Montana. Also, I think during that time period, it has made it there have been large loads of drugs, narcotics coming across as well that either get missed or blend in with the smuggling of humans across the border too. So it's exacerbated the issue. Yeah.
Is the global community as engaged in fighting human trafficking as perhaps, we're becoming more aware of here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it varies from country to country. A lot of countries are really far along on the deterrence and criminalization. I know our federal partners at Homeland Security specifically work abroad with law enforcement in the other countries on working on that issue. And it's I think the U.S. has done a good job of elevating awareness, and we in Montana have done that as well, both awareness of the general public and then also changing law enforcement's perception of the commercial sex industry and kind of understanding the dynamic that a lot of those persons that have found themselves in a situation that they can't get out of anymore as truly seeing them as victims.
Yeah. I got a couple. We got 3 minutes here, so plenty of time.
Oh, sure.
To kind of talk. Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, if you had something to add.
I did. I wanted to make sure that folks kind of know what to look for, and then I wanted them to know what to do if they think they see something.
Right where I was going. So yeah. Please.
So potential indicators of human trafficking. Oftentimes, this is a young person. It can be a young person that seems hesitant to engage in conversation, maybe avoids eye contact, potential, you know, specifically maybe with adult men. They can look tired or malnourished. Basically, it looks like somebody that needs to be checked on. They may show signs of having some injuries. In some cases, you may see a person that has trouble responding to what their name is, because sometimes they change their names as they're being trafficked, you know, from one location to another. And they may not be aware of exactly where they're at because of travel. Maybe they're wearing clothes that aren't appropriate for the climate or the weather. Maybe not carrying very much and seems like somebody else is carrying all of their, you know, their property or their personal documents, and maybe can accompanied by a more controlling or dominating person that they look to before responding. And usually there's an age discrepancy of an older person controlling a younger person. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a male. Oftentimes you can see this with a controlling female that's controlling a human trafficking victim. Mm-hmm. And then some of the places where these can be kind of encountered are, you know, well, literally anywhere, but convenience stores, public places, truck stops. It really could just be anywhere. You know, if it seems like it doesn't look right, then there probably is something afoot. And I would encourage, here's the thing to do is if you feel like you're seeing first of all, if somebody's in danger or if you perceive it's an emergency, just call 911. So local law enforcement has been trained to respond to emergencies, and they also have been trained to recognize human trafficking. So if somebody's in danger, call 911. If it's not an emergent situation, be a good witness, get a license plate, take a picture, you know, take a couple pictures of the subjects in the car, and you can either contact local law enforcement's non-emergency number, or you can call the Montana Human Trafficking Hotline, which is 1-833-406-STOP. And so it's 1-833-406-7867. There are also resources online, both a national line that'll get things to us. There's an advocate at 406stop.com as well.
Hey, Steve, thank you so much. I want to give a congratulations and a big thank you to your agents as well who work this on behalf of the public, Bureau Chief Steve Crawford. Stay safe too, Steve, okay? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
It really is a 365, 24/7 kind of thing, but it's been noted that this month is Human Trafficking Prevention Month. And let's prevent human trafficking, because as we note here, the scope of the problem is pretty large. 28 million people, $150 billion in the industry itself. We spoke with Steve Crawford just a little while ago, Bureau Chief for the Narcotics Division, which handles human trafficking, about the scope of the problem and some of the things that they're doing to, you know, fight back on it. And it's good that we're becoming more and more aware. There are things that the public can do as well. There are those who have picked it up from a different aspect as well, because those 28 million people, they're victims, and there's probably a lot of recovery that's needed through something like this. How do you even begin that? I don't know that Brittany Higgs knew that answer when she stepped up to found the HER campaign, but in walking it out, she certainly has found something that has been meaningful for people in that healing process, and joins us now, founder and executive director. Good morning, Brittany. How are you?
Good morning, Tom. I'm doing great. It's good to be back with you guys.
Thank you. I want to, right off the bat, you guys, you're in Denver right now, right?
We are. We are currently in Denver expanding our emergency shelter programs here.
Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
That's not a small thing. Why don't you talk about, no. I want to talk about the victims here and the healing process as well, but it might be a reminder to folks that you don't have to figure everything out. If you are called to something, just kind of start walking it out and you might find yourself in Denver before too long. Okay.
Right. Yeah, no, Tom, I love what you said at the beginning, because you look at an issue like this and you ask yourself the question, how could I absolutely help these victims walk into healing? I remember my journey started with working with NGOs across seas and encountering survivors of sex trafficking. And as they were reintegrated with their families and we sat down to hear their stories, every single one of them would say, I wish I would have just died in captivity. Mm. And so even though they were physically free and safe, what had been done to them was so horrific that they didn't think they could go on. And my heart broke after those conversations, and my heart cry really was, what can we do to come alongside of these women? This cannot be the end of their story. And so the HER campaign was breathed out of that question of what can we possibly do to come alongside of these victims?
What do you guys do?
What do we do?
What do you do? Right. I mean, simple enough question.
Yeah,
huh?
No, it's a great question. So we actually started in 2016 with a just grassroots safe house. We got trained by two other organizations for 3 years leading up to that, because we wanted to do it well. We wanted to serve these victims with excellence, but started out of our own home, just integrating these survivors into a family system, providing those wraparound care pieces, and then helping them reintegrate into society. But as we did that, we learned and we grew that there really is a stabilization piece that is needed right as people were coming out. And, you know, working with, the DOJ, other law enforcement officers as well, they were giving us calls and saying, what's it going to take for you guys to provide that crisis intervention? Because we need someone to answer our call at 1 o'clock in the morning and say they have a safe place for them to go, help them stabilize and get to their next step. So through that, we developed an emergency shelter program, which is an 8-week stabilization program that is very clinical in nature. We have wraparound care. We look at the survivor holistically, see how can we stabilize mind, body, and spirit. So what we're doing in our emergency shelter program, and the first year that we operated this, we had an 83% success rate of survivors going through our programming, graduating, and entering into a long-term program, which is really unheard of in a lot of the human resource world. It's mostly a revolving door, right? Mm. And so we just were wanting to address the common variables that we were seeing of these victims going right back into trafficking, and created this 8-week stabilization program around that. So we are doing things like integrative and functional health for the body. There's a lot of case management. We have licensed clinical social workers that are coming alongside of these women to help them get from point A to point B. And then navigating, what is your long-term goals? How do we help you get there? And then having a very highly trained staff to provide that compassionate care while they're with us. And so it's a lot of work, but these women are absolutely worth it. And we are seeing the answer to that question of how do we help come alongside of these victims? And we are seeing them stabilize. We're seeing them overcome the most horrific acts that have been done to them and start to dream again about their future. And then Tom, I just want to share a quick story with this kind of a full circle moment is this year we had a survivor who went through our emergency shelter program, completed a long-term program, went through our transitional, which is more independent living, but still wraparound resources. She graduated from that and she is now on staff at the HER campaign and living out her dream of being able to pour back into survivors that are just like her.
I like those stories, and that's what makes it worth it. And so, put another one in the back of your pack there, because I'm going to have you unpack it for us here going forward. Again, it's Brittany Higgs, founder and executive director of the HER campaign, HER campaign.org, for more information there. Let me ask you your perspective on this, and it's cliche, but are they taking a bite out of this crime? Is there, as far as law enforcement and public awareness and what's your, and I know that you deal with victims, and so that's not necessarily your main focus there, but what's your perspective on those effective measures?
Yeah, no, I would just like to speak on behalf of just the state of Montana, and what we have seen is that our Attorney General and our Governor's Office, but the Department of Justice has put this as a focus in Montana, and they have been willing and seeking out collaborations with resources and care providers to really just inquire of, like, how can we best partner with you guys in this issue? How can we bring more awareness to our communities? And how do we effectively collaborate so that we can see this thing eradicated in our state? I am so impressed by our Attorney General and the Department of Justice and people like Steve Crawford and his team. They have been phenomenal at addressing this issue, creating awareness in our state. Honestly, you know, Montana, it's my favorite state, you know, in the United States, but I feel like we can kind of be behind everybody else when it comes to certain issues and things, right?
Yeah.
But what we're seeing is that Montana is actually a front runner in how we are collaborating to address this issue in the state. And I am super proud of us for that.
Yeah. And I am too. And I've noted the difference, at least in how the willingness for people to talk about human trafficking and not just, you know, the sexual exploitation of it, but the full gamut of human trafficking as well. You deal mostly though with people who had come out of the sex industry. Is that right?
Yes. Yep. Yep. Our programs are designed specifically for those that are coming out of sex trafficking.
Yeah. Again, getting from point A to point B and then, you know, establishing those long-term goals, that is something that perhaps we just take for granted on a day-to-day business. I set goals every day, so to speak. But talk about how you have to, kind of scrub things to get that victim who is right now at point A to believe that point B is possible for her. Him.
Absolutely. So I would love to share, you know, that story you had me stick in the back of my mind.
Yeah.
I'll share it now
yeah.
just to kind of give a clear picture, because I do think this is something that people are wondering of. How do you even get them from the point of trafficking to economic independence, which is the goal, right? What mm-hmm. is that process? What does that continuum of care look like? And for us, I'll just use one story. So we partner with hotlines across the nation and in the state of Montana. And one of these particular hotlines in the nation had a survivor who called. She was in an emergency shelter. She had actually just ran away from her trafficker. She was 12 weeks pregnant, had nowhere to go, and was also addicted to drugs. And so she's in the emergency shelter and got connected to a hotline. She calls that hotline, explains her situation. That hotline is a partner of ours. They know that we take in pregnant women too that have been trafficked. So they immediately give a call to her campaign and say, hey, we have a survivor. She can stay in the hospital for 3 days. We have to get her placed. So immediately our team starts working in preparing a place for her. We're working on transportation with that hotline. What's amazing is this hotline actually has a partnership with Southwest Airlines. And a lot of survivors don't have their identification. They don't have any form of birth certificate or anything on them. That's one of the things that traffickers do, is they try to take away their identity mm-hmm. and so that they can't run, right? So that was this way for this particular survivor. She needed to be escorted through Southwest Airlines. They are trained to transport survivors, so they can get through without identification in certain circumstances. They got her on a plane and then eventually got her to Montana. Our team picked her up, brought her to the safe house, and then we were able to start to work through that process with her. And she went through that 8-week program, and it's difficult. We know that when people are coming in with acute mental illness, acute addiction, there's just a lot that needs to come alongside of them, and that's where our amazing professional staff really meets them where they are. We have peer support specialists and licensed addiction counselors that also come along and help these survivors start to stabilize and give them hope. And then part of that case management is having them ask for their needs and putting power back in their corner and asking them, where do you want to go and how can we help you get there? Then we start to just resource them out to a long-term program that's going to be the best fit for them. We did that with this survivor. And then she ended up coming back to transitional at her campaign where she had her baby. And we got to walk that journey with her. We provided her with, you know, family classes, you know, and how to take care of her baby. And she is now about to graduate our transitional program in 2 years, stepping into independence for the first time in her life. She was trafficked starting at the age of 3 years old and has never known independence. And for the first time ever, she is getting her own house and stepping into freedom.
Well, I just want to exclaim something. I don't even know what it is. It's just a Yahoo for something like that, you know, because it lifts us up to hear that victims can, as you said, you're putting power back in their corner. You know, and when they realize that, that's got to be like a eureka moment for them, too.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, we have a common quote that we say at the HER campaign all the time. Healing is not linear. It isn't for us. It isn't for them. But in that process, we are showing them that even when things get tough, even when things are hard, when doubts creep up, when your past tries to creep up, you have the ability to de-escalate. You have these tools now to help you no matter what comes up in life. And you have these lifelong relationships that are going to come as you transition into independence. So, yeah, it is a beautiful thing.
Brittany Higgs is with us, founder and executive director of the HER campaign. It is hercampaign.org for more information. Faith-based, but they're restoring that hope and empowering the victims of human trafficking. I'm so grateful, Brittany, that you're doing it. And I'm sure you're praying hard every night for these victims, because that enables success in a lot of ways. Let's spend the last 2 minutes that I have here about how people can be trained, how people can themselves be empowered to recognize and to fight back against human trafficking.
Yeah, absolutely. I think all of us, it's good for anybody and everybody to become trauma-informed, right? And what that means is understanding that there are just really horrible things that happen in our world, but we have the ability to come alongside of those that are broken and hurting and provide that care in so many different ways. This could happen in your business. If somebody comes in that you can tell is identifying as someone who could be in a traumatic situation, or if it is working in a nonprofit like HER campaign, law enforcement, anywhere you're at, I think becoming trauma-informed is really important. And there's amazing resources out there. You Google it, you can find it. One place that you can go to start this journey of finding out and being more aware of what human trafficking looks like, and then how can I possibly come alongside these victims, is OnWatch. And so it's onwatch.org or iamonwatch.org. And it is an incredible resource, survivor-led information and stories about this is what trafficking looks like, but this is how I can come alongside as a community member to help these victims.
That's nice. I so much appreciate it. And again, you know, it takes a God to kind of heal through something like this. And so very much appreciate that approach too. And that you've got those stories and they lighten us up an awful lot, Brittany. Thanks for what you do.
No, thank you so much.
And God's led you to Denver as well. We'll catch up on that in a bit. Okay.
Okay. That sounds great.
All right. Great job, Brittany. Thank you so much. Thanks for joining us for the podcast, and join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.